O Holy Spirit of God, help us to become masters of ourselves, that we may be the servants of others. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Tomorrow, our country commemorates the life of someone who did not keep silent about things that matter. Martin was a follower of Christ, and as you know, much of his work was done through churches of many denominations with other followers of Christ of all races. And many of these people took risks, as he did, in not remaining silent about things that matter. Close to home, I found this out after I'd been married for quite a while because my father-in-law didn't talk about it very much. But my own father-in-law in Atlanta received death threats in the 60s because he was involved in an Episcopal church that was working towards civil rights. And many of you probably have similar stories, either your own life or in your family, particularly if you grew up in the South or you lived in the South during the 60s and the 70s. Martin Luther King was called by God to his life of witness to God's love for all people. And because he did not stop his quest for justice and peace, because he was not silent about things that matter, he lived his life fully to the end. 44 years ago, this coming April, he was martyred for his work for justice and equality for all people. And we remember him today as a person who struggled with his humanity, proclaimed his faith, and inspired our world to change for the better. How does God call us? This morning, we heard two very different stories of calling. The calling of Samuel in the temple, and the calling of Philip and Nathanael. Samuel's calling is a wonderful, dramatic story, and his calling was dramatic and unexpected. We hear that in those days, the voice of the Lord was not common. It was not common for people to hear God speaking to them. And young Samuel, who was in the temple ministering to Eli, did not recognize the voice of God. Finally, after three times, Eli said to Samuel, "This is what you need to say to God. God is calling you. Say, 'Listen, your servant is listening.'" John's gospel tells us that Jesus called disciples as he traveled the countryside. And in this calling story, we do not get very many details. We don't get this rich detail of Samuel's call by God. John tells us that Jesus found Philip and said, "Follow me." And then Philip calls Nathanael. Now, Nathanael takes some convincing until Jesus reveals himself to be more than the usual prophet. He doesn't think anything good can come out of Nazareth. So how does God call us, and how do we listen to God? Well, Jesus gives all of us this invitation to new life, to conversion of heart, to a new way of seeing. Come and see. Jesus says, come with me and see with new eyes. Come with me and understand life in a new way. Come with me and recognize God at work in the world. Come with me and experience the unbounded love of God. We are still in the season of Epiphany. And Epiphany means showing or manifestation. And so in this season of Epiphany, we hear many stories of God revealing Christ to the world. The Magi followed a star to find the Christ child in the manger. Jesus is baptized, and the heavens open with glory. John the Baptist points to Jesus as the Son of God. In Epiphany, we look for Christ appearing in our world today. And in Epiphany, we might look inside ourselves and ask ourselves some questions about our vision, how we see, what we choose to see in the world. These are faith questions. All of us have a lens through which we see the world, and this lens can be changed and formed throughout our life by our spiritual life. You might think about, who was it that taught you to see the important things in life? Perhaps your parents or teachers or friends. Was there a time in your life when your eyes were opened and you saw something in a new way, in an important way? I think about the great hymn, Amazing Grace, that all of us know, that was written by an Anglican who was a former slave trader. And he wrote that wonderful hymn about his own conversion. I once was blind, but now I see. We might ask each other this Epiphany, can our world be as good as Martin Luther King imagined it could be? Or can we imagine a world as good as God wants it to be? There's a lot of research nowadays on how the human brain works and how our perception works. And it is now said, and I believe this, that we used to say seeing is believing. But in general, we don't believe something because we see it. We see something because we believe it. And so unless we believe, we are not likely to see. Unless we believe that God is working in our world around us, we are not likely to see it. How can we open our eyes and open our vision even wider, even broader than it already is? That is a question for Epiphany. And how might our seeing, our vision, our imaginations need to stretch in new directions so that we can help to change the world the way God would have it be changed? I'd like to share a blessing with you this morning of blessing for our vision, for our eyes and our seeing in the world. May God, who comes to us in the things of this world, bless our eyes and be in our seeing. May Christ, who looks upon you with deepest love, bless your eyes and widen your gaze. May the Spirit, who perceives what is and what may yet be, bless your eyes and sharpen your vision. May the Sacred Three bless your eyes and cause you to see. Amen.